Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Canadian Gamers, and it's a very special one. We've been trying to get together for the last little bit because we wanted to talk about the Dragon Quest 35th anniversary special, if you will, that just happened not too long ago now. And Stephen and I just wanted to chat a little bit about what was announced, what we thought, and why I am laughing more and more and more. Because as more North Americans and Europeans get into Dragon Quest, it is abundantly obvious that there's just a lot of new fans. And so they're, you know, horribly disappointed by some news and surprised by other news and so on and so forth. And I just find it really, really funny because if you've been a longtime fan of Dragon Quest, that conference, if you will, was pretty much exactly what you would expect. It's but anyways, we're gonna jump into this. But overall, let's start with Mr. Steven here. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm just in here enjoying the ride. I'm gonna add in my 2 cents here and there, like I told you. You're gonna do the play-by-play. I'll do the color commentary because I haven't even watched this conference yet. I've just heard the news from you, and I know most of the details, and I have an opinion, and I'll give it to you for free.
We're so professional, like it's truly something.
I have a lot to say about this for some reason. I'll be one of those people that's going to be talking out of my ass because I'm the guys you've described this video. I've been playing Dragon Quest. I've played pretty much every game in the series except 10. But I've never followed the Japanese news and stuff. I've only played the game. So for me, I don't know how they usually do these things. So I don't know. I have my thoughts on the games they've announced, and we'll discuss this. But the rest of the stuff, I'm clueless.
Yeah, and but at least you know you're clueless, and I think that's what's kind of funny with this is just that there's a lot of folks that I guess pretend would be the right word that they know more than they do with this kind of thing, and that's where it's just kind of funny. So, okay, so we'll start off by just talking a little bit about the difference between U.S. and when I say U.S., I'm really talking about non-Japanese, okay? So let's say that. So you have Japanese Dragon Quest fans and Dragon Quest as a whole, okay? If you don't know this, there's a Disney World in Japan. It's called Dragon Quest Island. That's basically like its own theme park for Dragon Quest. That's how hardcore they are. Dragon Quest is very much a part of their culture. It's something that even non-gamers know what Dragon Quest is. Like a slime, if they see it, there's an association with that. Whereas outside of Japan, that's where things are quite a bit different, right? Like when we have video game reveals or like trailers or anything like that for anything, it's done in a specific way. And so I thought this was going to be very interesting when they announced that the Dragon Quest 35th anniversary special was going to be broadcast worldwide, that it wasn't just going to be in Japanese. And so when you and I were texting, one of the first things that we had said to each other was I guess the next Dragon Quest is going to be a worldwide release, because otherwise, why would they do this? Because right away, this isn't what normally happens. So this was a very calmed down special, because normally in Japan, it's about a 2-hour special, usually 1 to 2 hours. And it usually features tons of commentary. There's this man and woman that are in most, their names escape me, but they're in most of these specials, and they're very, very animated. It's just the way they are. It's just the way this is all set up. And it was clear that they changed the venue to appease to a worldwide market. That was the first thing, like as soon as it started, that was the very first thing that sort of caught my attention, was that this was changed quite a bit for non-Japanese audience. Now, that said, there was still a lot of stuff that was shown that was Japanese exclusive. In fact, two of the six announcements were Japanese exclusive. So that in and of itself, I think, is really telling, right? Because why they did this still perplexes me a little bit. I'll be honest. I don't quite understand why they didn't just do this in Japanese first. Sort of like what Nintendo does with their directs, right?
They do two. Yeah, they do two separate directs because there are some announcements that are region specific. Yeah,
exactly. And I was really surprised that they did not do that, because the way they did it now, I'm sure. I haven't had time to watch like reaction videos and stuff like that, but I'm willing to bet you had YouTubers and others that were like, oh my god, Dragon Quest X confirmed, you know, and stuff like that. Whereas with me, as I was watching this, I was like, yeah, well, no, like no chance. So anyways, just to say, I thought overall that this was a decent showcase. I don't think this was like superbly well handled, but considering it's the first of its kind, I'll say, but I think I'm hoping at least for the future that they do two separate shows, because I'm certain the Japanese audience was disappointed just because it was so different than what they're used to. And North American fans were probably disappointed because they had expected all of these announcements would pertain to them when they didn't. So it started off with an announcement. There was only six announcements that were made, and the first one was for Dragon Quest Eraser. This will be released worldwide, but they didn't mention I don't think this one was mentioned as simultaneous release, but who cares? It doesn't matter if it's simultaneous or not, really. This is going to come. It's an Android, iOS game. It's basically a puzzle game. So that's it. I don't know if you have anything. There's really not too much to say, except what I'll say for this is, in Japan anyway, there's going to be a buttload of erasers that are going to be sold. Because this is just another sort of excuse, right, for Square Enix to release all the different Dragon Quest monsters and Dragon Quest, like, everything related to Dragon Quest in eraser form. So I know they're going to sell, like, 50 gajillion erasers now. Did you have anything about this one?
So people still use erasers.
Even if they don't, they're going to make it, like, a collectible.
Okay.
And the game? What did you think of the game?
Well, I don't know. Like I told you, I haven't watched the any of the thing, but I didn't know there was a puzzle game being made for iPhones or Androids. But it's a puzzle game, and it's an iPhone, so like all of these don't really appeal to me. But good for you. Good for you guys. You're getting in new puzzle games on your phones.
There's nothing. There's really nothing as professional as this right here. Like, this is by far, I think, the most professional podcast we've ever done. We're talking about a, like, 30 to 40 minute event that Steven didn't even watch. I love this. Okay, so after that thrilling reveal, they actually did the classic Dragon Quest reveal. And I thought it was really surprising, because I was like, okay, well, if there's going to be like a worldwide showcase for this, right, that the odds were really high that we're going to get Dragon Quest 12. Like, the announcement of 12 is going to be there. So I was kind of surprised when they used the classic reveal. Now, what the hell am I talking about when I say that? Well, if you look on the Dragon Quest playlist we have, and you scroll back like 5 or 6 years, you'll see the reveal for Dragon Quest 11. And you'll see that the way they always do it is they'll show you gameplay from the first Dragon Quest, and they'll show the year, and then it fades, and then they'll show you the next one, and it fades, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, leading up to the reveal of the new one. And they actually did something like that for Dragon Quest X itself, where they showed like 2012 Dragon Quest, basically V1 or vanilla, and you saw it And then it was showed like version 2, version 3, version 4, version 5. And then it's like, and coming soon. And they announce Dragon Quest X version 6, which is perfect timing because it was supposed to be announced this year. But it was just a brief little like teaser announcement. They didn't really go into any details, just like more information coming soon. And they singled out in it, they're like, there are no plans for a worldwide release. And I was like, ouch, man.
For
ouch.
What? For Dragon Quest 12?
For Dragon Quest 10.
Oh, okay. 6. Sorry. Yeah, I just zoomed out. Okay, yeah, Dragon Quest 10. Okay.
Yeah, so, but again, for me watching this, right? Oh, it's awesome, right? Like, super exciting. That's great. But for, like, half the planet, more than half the planet that was watching, I can totally understand how they would probably, because it was all in Japanese. That was the other thing. So everything was in Japanese, and it would have like a, like even the text that they showed wasn't translated. Like there was no closed captions or stuff.
Why did they bother to make this a worldwide and like a trailer or whatever? Because
I know,
it was also like at 11 like, Eastern, right?
I'm like, it's weird, man. It's really weird that they. That they did this, but anyways, they had closed caption translation for like some of the text if you had it on for what people were saying, and then they had like you know, just like a voiceover translator that was talking. But for the actual trailers, like if you didn't understand Japanese, like you were lost. You had no idea what was actually being said or shown or anything. So I just thought that was kind of stupid, to be honest, but whatever. Anyway, so V6 announced. I guarantee you people were really, really disappointed for sure, because the way, especially if you have no context with the way Dragon Quest reveals are done, you probably looked at that and were like, oh my God, they're showing all of the versions. That means like they're going to release like all of them like outside of Japan. Oh, that's awesome. Whereas someone like me watched that and I'm like, okay, this is the classic traditional reveal for the next one. So I guarantee you half the planet, or more than half the planet, was all gearing up for this announcement. And meanwhile, here I am. I'm like, oh, V6 confirmed. And so I don't know. I really wish I would have had the opportunity to do this live, because it would have been hilarious. It's like if someone was watching like another streamer or whatever, and then they had logged into us, I would have just been able to tell them all of this as it was happening, to be like, okay, folks, like, don't get excited because there's no way this is happening for you. But anyway, and then the next announcement that was made that also made me laugh like out loud was the announcement of it's not a remake, but it sort of is, of Dragon Quest X, but this time it's called Dragon Quest X Offline. And what they showed was the starting area of the offline portion, of the online portion, which I thought was kind of funny, because in the original version of Dragon Quest X, it was offline.
Like, yeah, because you had a Let's Play of Dragon Quest X offline.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that was kind of cute. But it's going to be more than that. It's actually, from what they revealed, it's going to be essentially V1, so the original vanilla version, none of the expansions, that would allow you to play it offline. But I don't know how that's going to actually be, if you know what I mean, because the game was designed for online and having partners and stuff, and so I'm not sure, unless it plays sort of like
Dragon Quest 9. What's the point of this though? Is there demand for version 1 offline?
No idea. That's it. That's exactly
it. Would make sense if that would be like a worldwide release, because there's tons of people who haven't played, but it's a Japanese only release for people who've already played this game.
I know,
and now they're version 6 and they're re-releasing version 1 but offline. I don't see the appeal of this.
Me neither.
Unless
they did not mention a worldwide release. So people are like, oh, well, they didn't mention it's not a worldwide release. And I'm like, listen, guys, like, it maybe, but the new art style and stuff, I don't think so. It uses like little chibi deformed characters. Like, I will be very surprised if they bring that worldwide. And the fact that they didn't mention it as having a worldwide release, I think tells you everything. But I don't get it. I don't understand why they would do this, considering 10 is already, you know, like available there. I was really thrown off by this one. This one I was really, really, really thrown off. I'll for sure pick it up, but I don't understand the logic, but whatever. So yeah, that one was weird. And then finally, the next three games were confirmed for a worldwide release. So let's just get going. So the next one starts off, and it starts showing the Famicom version of Dragon Quest III. Then they showed which remains to this day one of my favorite Super Famicom games of all time. All time is the remake of Dragon Quest III. That it sucks so bad that we don't have an easy way of playing that game in like North America. I love that version because they use the Dragon Quest VI engine for the remaster, and it remains one of the most breathtaking Super Nintendo games ever made. And it sucks that it was never released here. But anyway, so then the screen like goes black, and then they show right away. It's obvious what's happening. It's a remake of Dragon Quest III using the Octopath Traveler engine. And it's they're calling it an HD 2D remake. And I'm very stoked that that's going to have a worldwide release and a simultaneous worldwide release.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Every game is supposed to be simultaneous, right?
Yeah, except for Eraser.
Okay, yeah, that game, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But the other ones.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what I heard. I heard simultaneous release. Yeah. So that's ones, great.
Yeah, so these ones, there's going to be a simultaneous release. So for me, okay, this is probably the biggest news out of all of this, is the fact that for the very first time, and yes, okay, if you want to get real technical, we had Dragon Quest Builders on the Switch before it was released in Japan. But yeah, give me a break. In terms of brand new Dragon Quest releases or remakes or whatever, this is the first time where we're getting at the same time as our Japanese compatriots. So that's really, for me, that was the biggest news of all, was the fact that they're finally doing it. And I mean, obviously it was obvious that this was going to happen. That's why they released this worldwide, this broadcast. But there was still part of me that was like, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? So I'm very excited about that. Now, I'm really excited about that, but at the same time, I'm going to speak for Steven, and I'm going to say it's interesting. And it's like, why three? And I get it. I understand the legacy of it. I understand the importance of it. I understand the tie-in to Dragon Quest XI and all of that. And Yuji Horii mentioned at the little broadcast that basically, if this does well, then 1 and 2 would be released as well. And 1 and 2, they would make modifications to it, most likely to make it a little bit, I guess a little better, if you will, if that makes sense. Because Dragon Quest 1 is, and 2, to be fair, are really, really simplistic. So they probably flesh that out. But what I was surprised when the whole show was done was that we didn't get a remake of Dragon Quest 9. I was surprised for that because could have really been like useful for the Switch. The Switch like is just it's the perfect console for a remake of Dragon Quest IX. And I know there's all these rumors of like, you know, a new Switch model coming out or whatever, but I don't know, it just looks like we might not get a remake of Dragon Quest IX anytime soon, and that's a little disappointing. So as excited as I am for this, and this, it does look great. It truly does. I was disappointing that it wasn't 9 that got remade. So
I actually saw footage of this game, and that was after we had a discussion, and I'm kind of excited for it because I really enjoyed Octopath Traveler, and I like the HD 2D style. The engine they're doing looks fantastic for these games. and I'm sure the game will be modernized in a way that makes it appealing to me. So I can't wait to play this one. This one I'm interested in. Did they mention any hints of a release date or not at all?
I do not believe so.
Because they also are working on Project Triangle something? That same studio with the same engine?
Yeah.
That was announced as a strategy RPG or tactics game. Yep. So I'm not sure if they want to release those two games close together. I don't know. But this one looks interesting. I haven't really played much of 3. I think I've played it on the Game Boy Color, right? It was released on the Game Boy Color.
Yes, it was.
I think I played it for like an hour or two there at one point. A friend of mine had the game, so I'm not familiar with it. But from what I understand from what you've told me, it's the most popular DQ game of all time, right? It's the most well-loved in Japan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I go by sales, I think it's still 9, but it's the one that, you know, like that caused like all the big news stories and all this sort of stuff, like, you know, of like, oh, stock market crashes and all this stuff. It turned out to be all BS, but it's definitely one of the ones that like caused Square Enix to be like, okay, more Enix to start releasing them on the weekends and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to it. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like, oh, poo-poo. It's just I was really looking forward to the announcement of 9. And especially now, like, you know, like Steven and I could have actually had a good time with that. But anyways, maybe it'll come in, you know, as a surprise later this year, next year, whatever. But I'm not going to hold out I'm not going to hold my breath. So the next announcement was the one that not enough people are talking about the truth, I guess, behind this. So it was an announcement of a new type of game. They're calling it an RPG-ish type game, but they called Dragon Quest Builders an RPG-ish game where you go around and collect treasures, and it's called Dragon Quest Treasures. And they said this will have a worldwide release as well. This one, though, I don't recall if I saw simultaneous on this one. I don't recall. But let's just say it will, because I don't see why they wouldn't. And with this one, so what's the deal? What am I talking about? What's the story with this? Well, for the last, 3-4 years, Square Enix has been hard at work on a new Dragon Quest Monsters game. Okay? And it was going to feature the characters, as you know them, as Eric and Mia, and it was gonna take place when they were young kids and going around and whatever. And about
so Eric, that's Camus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Mia, who's that?
His sister.
Okay.
So it was gonna be like it was a Monsters game. It was formally announced as a Monsters game, but it was about a year ago or so. When we started, Famitsu started to release some news that there was a lot of development issues with this particular game. And that was the first time like I had heard of like serious issues with like a mainstream Dragon Quest Monsters game. So I was like, that doesn't bode well, you know, like there's something going on, clearly something going on here. And yeah, so that was weird, right? Like that was kind of odd. And then when I see the game, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I see what happened here. So they basically completely transformed the game. So obviously at some point in the last year, they canceled the Dragon Quest Monsters game that this was supposed to be, and they retrofitted it or converted it into this new whatever it is, like some treasure collecting type of game. I have no idea. I mean, they didn't show too much, and I think that's actually telling that they.
What did they show? Like, what did they show?
They just showed the characters on an overworld map going around collecting, literally opening up treasure chests. That's it.
Like in a classic Dragon Quest overworld.
Yeah, but with like smaller, cute little characters.
Okay, so is it a mobile game?
No, it's not a mobile game. For sure, it's not a mobile game. They didn't announce the platform for it, but I think it's going to be I think it's using the Builders engine, to be honest. It looks more like that.
and we have no idea what type of game it is.
No, they just said that it's like it's an RPG.
Then why did they even bother announcing this?
Well, I think it's because like this will probably come out in the next like, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, something like that.
And they don't have they can't tell us more than that if it's coming.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I just, for me, the big news was, well, okay, clearly you canceled the Dragon Quest Monsters game. And then Yuji Horii because it was like basically there was like the host and Yuji Horii was there just talking after they would show like the announcement. And he did acknowledge that this was a Dragon Quest Monsters game. But I find too many YouTubers and stuff are skipping over this fact. But like, it's clear that there was some serious issues here. And he did say that Dragon Quest Monsters will return for the 25th anniversary of the series. So now I'm wondering, well, like, what exactly are they going to do with Dragon Quest Monsters? Because, like, I've been looking forward to this for a long, long, long time, and it just sort of vanished, right?
Yeah, no. No, Dragon Quest Treasure is not a game I'm looking forward to, as for what I know of. Never know, but usually a game that's in trouble development and then gets switched to another game. I don't know. Doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. So after that was the quote unquote big news where everyone was super disappointed. And it was kind of weird, okay? So they're like, oh, we're going to talk about that game next. That game. And I don't know if you saw the teaser. Did you?
No.
Okay, it's literally just like a black screen, and then it looks like ground, and you see fire is like appearing in like a straight line, and as the camera starts to move around, you realize that the camera is building an 11, okay? And it pans up, and then you just see a line of fire come down to make the 12 in the Roman numeral 12, and then they just the Dragon Quest logo comes out, and that's it. And for me, as a fan, I guess as a, you know, like a Japanese fan of the series, even though I'm not Japanese, that was disappointing because I love the classic fanfare. Like, I just love the classic fanfare where they show you the years and the titles and as they go, you know, one after the other. But since they already did it with Dragon Quest X when they announced version 6, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because they're not going to repeat the same thing twice. But I just thought it was very lackluster just having it the way they did it, because it was a title card reveal, but I don't even like the image that's in the background of the 12. I didn't even like that, because normally it's like you see the Dragon Quest, you see the Roman numerals will fly towards the back of the screen, and then you'll see the logo will appear. Like the hand-drawn logo. Think of it like Final Fantasy for anyone listening. But in this case, it's just literally like scratches of fire that say 12 in Roman numerals. And then the Dragon Quest appears like on top of that. And that's it. And I was like, that looks horrible. But anyways, whatever. It's called Dragon Quest 12, The Flames of Fate. And this is where North American media is screwing up and European media is screwing up like crazy. So if you want news for Dragon Quest, you don't go to the United States or Europe. You just don't. You go to Japan. That's where you're going to get all kinds of information.
But that's in Japanese.
Exactly.
So you're screwed.
Exactly. You're screwed. That's the moral of the story. That's what I'm saying. You're screwed. Because there's been so much misreporting of what's going on and even the translation of it and everything. So, okay, what is this all about? So one of the things that they were saying was that it's going to be a darker tale, a more mature tale. Now, when they say that, okay, right now, one of the darkest tales that they've told in Dragon Quest has been Dragon Quest V and Dragon Quest VII. Those were pretty like dark at times, depending on you know, like, well, especially with VII, depending on which portion of the story we're talking about, like with Kiefer, where he has to. Oh, actually, I don't want to spoil it, but never mind.
Well, it's a really old game in a Dragon Quest podcast. Well, you can spoil it.
No, it's just the fact that, like, you know, you don't retain him the whole way, and the fact that, like, he's sort of, like, left behind. Like, there's mature themes to these things, but what they immediately picked up in North America was that, oh my God, we're going to see boobs and blood and, like, you know, there'll be, like, chopping off heads and stuff. And it's like, hey, guys, whoa. Everyone calm down here. Dragon Quest is an anime-styled game. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be dark, for sure. But look at the characters we're talking about. You have slimes. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, please be realistic when you make comments like this. Like, you're not suddenly gonna, you know, it's not gonna be blood everywhere and stuff like that. That is not at all what Dragon Quest is. And Yuji Horii went further into detail about this, and I really like this, where he's like, this game is going to be about choice. And it's about fanning the flames of fate. And that's where the name comes from. And so, taking the experience that I've seen anyway with him over the years, it basically means that this is probably going to be an exceedingly light version of Mass Effect. Okay? That is most likely what he's referring to with this concept of decision making and maturity and things like that. You want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Oh. So what do I mean by exceedingly simple? Well, it's Dragon Quest, right? So don't expect, what was it called? The paradigm system? Was that it?
No, I don't know, man.
Well, anyways, Mass Effect.
You know, yeah. Renegade and Paragon.
Exactly. So, like, don't expect something that robust or that deep or anything like that. Just don't expect that. That's not Dragon Quest. It's not like a worldwide innovator in those types of things. But I think you could expect some light versions of that, where the story will probably have some branching paths depending on the you know, the decisions you make. And that's exciting. That's super exciting. When I heard that, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, that's fantastic. I think that's going to be really, really cool. The other thing that they spoke about, which has been getting a lot of misrepresentation here, has to do with the battle system. So he said that, yet again, and for those that don't know, ever since Dragon Quest VIII was announced, they've been talking about tweaks to the battle system, that they're going to change the battle system, that commands are going to be changed. And his exact words on this were pretty much that, was that he was looking at changing the command systems, but not in such a way as to alienate existing fans. So what does this mean? If we were to decipher pretty much what he's talking about, it most likely means it's going to be an evolution of what you saw from 11, where most likely you'll have a different style for, you know, like Dragon Quest 11 had two different play styles that you had. You had classic command structure style, where the action, everything paused, and then you had a playthrough style where you could actually move around. I'm willing to bet right now that that's exactly what you're going to see in 12, but just further expanded, is that you'll have like a more classic version for longtime fans, so as not to alienate, you know, the whole user base, basically. But you could also have like a different style for, you know, new players or those that want to go a little more in depth with the action. And I'm pretty sure this is what he's alluding to, because the fact that he specifically said that they have multiple prototypes that they're already working on right now, and that they're working very carefully so as not to alienate their fans. That, to me, says everything, because every single entry in the mainline Dragon Quest series has been turn-based, command-structured. So if you don't want to alienate your fans, it's not like you can just make this a real-time game and walk away. Like, you will alienate all of your fans if you do that. So I just think there's been a lot of misquoting, a lot of misrepresentation on our side, where it's like, if you follow this guy and the way he's spoken for years, like, you sort of get a better understanding of what it is he's talking about. And like I said, they have been actively playing with the command system since Dragon Quest VIII. especially 9. 9 was a huge departure when it was first unveiled, and they got so much backlash for it that they ended up, you know, significantly modifying it. And that's not to say here that the command structure will not change. I think for sure it's going to change. I just think that people are blowing it a little bit out of proportion. Like, that's it. No more commands ever again. It's going to be real time. It's going to be, you know, Dragon Quest Heroes, basically. I think if that's what you're going in expecting, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, but I'm quite curious as what he meant by that, because there's a few differences, because they almost did it with Dragon Quest IX and they reversed it. But since then, their other flagship series has completely been like, has done the shift to like with Final Fantasy 15 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake, right? It's no longer turn-based, but maybe Final Fantasy 15 was to a degree. I'm not sure. I haven't played either of those games, but I believe 7 Remake is not at all. And those games have been successful, so maybe they're thinking that they can now pull the trigger without as much fan backlash. That's what I'm worrying about, because even if it's a different, like, even if it's a command system like Final Fantasy 12, like, I don't like that. I want at least one traditional RPG game to stay traditional, and that's DQ. I don't know. I'm really worried about this, what it means. We'll see. Maybe they'll remove the defend button. That'll be all. Like, I don't know what he meant by that, but I'm really worried because we don't know anything about it yet. And you're right. Like, it could be just an evolution, but I'm still very worried because they almost pulled the trigger on 9, and that was like, what, 2008? What was that, like 13 years ago, 14, 15, whatever? And they didn't. But since then, a lot have changed, and I think they might want to consider doing it, especially if they're going with the whole, let's go all in on this, let's go simultaneous worldwide release, and what do us, like, North Americans like, and it's action, they probably think, so they might pull the trigger here. And like I said, I'm talking out of my hat, I have no clue what I'm saying. But it really worries me.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Because, like, again, this isn't Final Fantasy. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that for me anyway, I like to tell people is, like, I'm like, okay, guys, like, it's not Final Fantasy. You know? And it's like this it is its own series. So the best analogy I like to give people is The Legend of Zelda. Well, what if the next Legend of Zelda that was released was a turn-based RPG? Like, is that even an option? Is that an option that Nintendo would ever consider? That the main line, not a spin-off, not whatever, but The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wilder is now a turn-based tactical RPG? Like, that's something that would just never happen. They would make changes like they did to the Gore gameplay, but if you change what makes a Dragon Quest Dragon Quest, then it isn't Dragon Quest anymore. And I keep going back to what I was saying, like, there are theme parks in Japan for this series. You know, it's like this isn't the, like, it's hard for me to articulate this, but it's like this is a part of their culture. If you transform this into something else, like, you don't want to make Dragon Quest Final Fantasy. That makes no sense. Like, it's a different series.
No, but what I'm saying is that they might be, because as much as Dragon Quest is huge in Japan, Final Fantasy is still much bigger than Dragon Quest worldwide, and they might want to try to increase those sales for that series. They might say maybe there's a reason we've never been able to get success outside of Japan, so maybe they want to try something drastic, and maybe not. But that's my fear here. It's that since they're going in a new direction, the worldwide release simultaneous, which we've been saying for years, is what needs to happen in order for the series to grow. Maybe they change nothing. Maybe they just try to put up a brand new quality title like they always do. Or maybe they finally pull the trigger, which you know from experience that at some point they wanted to do it. They didn't. And maybe now's the time. or maybe not, but I'm just saying there's a precedent here to think that this might not be fans or people like me or European or North American people just blowing this thing out of proportion. There's a kind of precedent here with Dragon Quest IX, right?
Yeah, it's just that it's not, like, because even with 9, it was still going to be command-based. It's just that they were going to add, because it was an online, essentially an online game, they didn't think that a purely command-based structure would work. Because, well, think of it, right? Like, if you're all playing together, they were like, well, how the hell is that actually going to work? And we never did find out the true story to that, because I know it was developed at around, like, I think it was actually developed simultaneously as Dragon Quest X. And Dragon Quest X is purely combat-based, and it's an MMO, for God's sakes. So, yeah, and I know they had started with 8. 8, if you go back to the original pictures, there is no command system. And it's, like, you have to think that it's, like, coming off of 7, we're just talking about, and this is the other thing that's really important to understand, okay, is the distinction here. There's the command system and the battle system. Those are two different things. Do you know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay, so Dragon Quest is a command system game, meaning that there's actually actions you can take that are in the command system, such as look and stuff like that. When they originally created the game, you couldn't even open a door, right? You had to open door. Yeah. So that's the other thing that people need to keep in mind. There's two different things with this. There's an overall command system, which is how the whole game is currently structured, where everything is command-based. And yes, of course, they've modernized that a lot. And that could be what they're referring to when they say, like, okay, we want to do away with that. I just can't see them completely doing away with the traditional battle system, because it's basically Pokemon. Like, could you imagine Pokemon with no commands?
No, I can't, but I've certainly heard that argument a lot by quote-unquote non-fans, that they think that that's the next step when the series has just sold 21 million copies. But that's the thing. Dragon Quest cannot claim that. So
no, right. No, right. And the truth is, listen, look, I mean, is anything possible? It is absolutely possible.
I hope it's not. Like, I'm really afraid of that. But you're probably right in the that it's, but it's like when we only have a logo, like, there's a lot to, we can talk about stuff that we don't know, because that's all we know. So I don't know.
Well, that's it. That's it. And I just wish that, because he has done this every single time since 8. So we had 8, 9, 10, 11, and now 12. That's 5 games where he's done this, and this exact response has happened, where North Americans are like, oh my God, confirm, doing away, no more, it's all going to be real time. And he never once said anything about real time, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's important that they don't just make this Final Fantasy, because I think if they do that, then this just becomes another series. You know what I mean? Like, what makes Dragon Quest special is the fact that it does have a traditional, you know, battle system. And listen, like, I'm an uber fan, right? So obviously, like, it's like you and Pokemon. Like, you would have a lot of reservations if they changed that, right? You'd have a lot of reservations. You'd be like, well, we'll see about this. And it's the same with me for Dragon Quest. It's like, you know, well, we'll see about this, because I can't picture a Dragon Quest without it being a command-based battle system. I just can't see that. And if you do want to go in a different direction, what direction? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go real time. That doesn't make any sense. Like, I just don't understand why you would take this into a real time effect, or like, what is it? Final Fantasy. What was the one with the dudes, the bromance one?
15. 15? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is that really what you want to do? Like, I don't know. I just find it's a little, They got to be careful, because if you change it too much, yeah, you might get North American sales and stuff like that, and great, good for you. But if you alienate what Dragon Quest is, like, I don't get why you do that.
No, I'm hoping you're right. I'm hoping they don't. Like, I just want more Dragon Quest, so I'm hoping for... This is probably... Because you said that by the time the logo was released for Dragon Quest XI, it was released, like, within the same year, you said? A year later?
A year after.
So we can imagine that maybe September 2022 is when this will be released. I guess that's a safe bet. So that would be cool. Like, it would be curious to see if it's a Switch game or a PS5 game. It's probably not. It's probably one of the or of these two consoles, or maybe both. We'll see, because 11 was PS4 and 3DS. So I don't think the 3DS is in the books now. But yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully, we get more news soon. It is E3 season coming up, so maybe they'll have a little tidbit there. But
well, we got the reveal trailer, right? So this by fans is the title card trailer. So this is the way they've always done it, is where they'll do the title card first, and then they'll do the reveal trailer. But it's usually very, very shortly after, right? And they'll have the full overture. So for 11, they did, you know, where you saw the cinematic play and you heard the overture play and all of that. See, for me, that's more something I'm excited about. More than news on the... Because for me, it's like, as a fan, being one of the only ones in North America, at least it felt like that for years and years and years, I've always found that North American and European media focus so much on the battle system that it's like, I almost want to tell people, just stop talking about that and talk about, like, all the other stuff, because we focus so much of our attention on the battle system, and then the battle system's announced and it's a classic turn-based battle system, and you're like, damn it! Like, you know, we had so many discussions about this when we could have talked about other stuff. And for me, one of those other things is, who is the composer of this? That's one of the things I'm really, really interested in knowing. Because the original composer is like 107 years old now. And
are you serious, though? Is he that old? Because I know he's old.
No, he's not that old. Okay. But he's... here, wait. I forget. He's 90. Koichi Sugiyama is the young old age of 90 years old.
And he's been doing this since the beginning, right?
Yeah, but he had said that for 11 that he believed that this would be the last of the original trio. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, where it's like, I'm really, like, of course I've always got in my mind about the, you know, the battle system and all of this, but I just get so fed up when it's like that's the only thing people talk about, whereas right now this could actually be interesting. Like, seriously, this could be really interesting if we get a new orchestrator in. What, like, where does the music go? Is Toriyama still going to be doing the artwork? Is he too is getting up there in age, nowhere near 90, but he's getting up there in age. Even Yuji Horii is like, he's up there now. And so I'm kind of like,
so the other the second guy you mentioned is the Dragon Ball guy. Who's the third guy you mentioned? Yuji, what does he do?
Yuji Horii
is the writer,
the guy that does the story.
Yeah,
he's the scenario planner, director, usually whatever. But none of these guys have done, like, you know, the day to day work in ages. You know what I mean? Like, Yuji Horii hasn't directed a Dragon Quest game in God knows how long. But still, it's more like those are the sorts of things that I'm really, really interested in. Same as with the story, like, this, there's real potential here. Like, as long as they don't do something like cookie cutter, it would be really cool to incorporate, you know, choice into a Dragon Quest. I think that could be really, really interesting, especially if they make the story, which I hope they do one of these days, make the story like 5 again, you know, where it's like a personal story. I think that would be bloody awesome, where, like, you could change who your significant other is, which could have an impact on the children you have, stuff like that. I think that could be pretty sick, man. And darkness, like, as like I mean, like I say, there's slimes. The games can only be so dark, you know? Like, so for those that are expecting some super mature thing, that I don't think is realistic. I think really what they're talking about is, again, like themes. If the if it's like, you know, it's the end of the earth that's happening, which is always the case with Dragon Quest. Some ancient evil is, you know, woken up or whatever. But if it if they make the story personal about you and the choices you make and stuff, they could go in a couple of directions that would be certainly more mature. So for me personally, I'm much more interested to start talking about that than just talking about.
I'm just going to go a bit on a separate note here. It would be amazing, but they would never do this because you'd have to lose at the end. If you would play a Dragon Quest or an RPG as the villain at the beginning, that would be amazing. But then at the end, you'd have to lose because, I don't know. There's probably no way to make it work and make it sense. But yeah, I think, anyway. But the darker team, yeah, I was interested by that. I don't know what they mean. Like, of course, like you say, there's slimes and whatnot. But what do they mean by darker team? Like, what direction are they gonna go? That's gonna be that dark, or
yeah,
that they thought they would need to mention this somehow. And I don't even know why they mentioned. For me, like darker team is not a selling point. Like. We're all adults here. We don't need any more dark in our lives. So,
like. No, exactly. And I think it's mostly because the trailer just shows fire and rubble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's sure. That's cool, man. Like every RPG starts with the end of the world, and you're probably a hero who doesn't remember or something, and you have to try to correct it. So that's fine. But is that really darker, or is it true what they said, that there's really going to be something about this game that's going to be darker? Not necessarily like sex stuff, but maybe not even blood and stuff, not necessarily showing the blood, but maybe like someone dies important, like halfway guess. Through like
no my guess would actually be like what if you were the like what if it's you, okay, or you're the like your father or your mother or whatever was either the antagonist or was the, you know, the cause of some cataclysm. That's pretty damn dark, you know, like if you play the game or whatever, let's say it is you. So you're playing the game, everything's going great and whatever. And then, you know, some baddie comes in and you're just unable to stop them and he kills everybody. You know, type of thing. Like, and
that would be kick-ass that you would actually, all your party members are dead, and now you have to start the whole game over like 20 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've just invested like 20 hours into the game. That would be like a complete like left turn that I don't think has ever been done, or not often, and you wouldn't see it coming. Obviously, hopefully it's not spoiled for you, but that would be kick-ass, because what you mentioned with Kiefer, like Kiefer, I think you lose him 20 hours in when it happened to me, and you expect to get him back at some point, but you never do. But that would be like...
That's what I'm saying.
Because you can see that often in a lot of RPGs, like Golden Sun, for example. I think the first hour you face the villains and you die. You not die, but you lose. That's something that happens a lot of time when you have an unwinnable battle in the beginning. But what if, like 20 hours in, you had a battle and you just get annihilated or destroyed, and then you have to start the whole game over? Well, not the whole game, but you know what I mean, the story over 20 years later, blah blah blah, you see the world in rubbles and you have to,
that's it.
That would be kick-ass. That's something like that.
That's what I'm thinking, because that to me, that's more mature, that's more dark. And you know Dragon Quest better than most people. You know how there's always a cataclysmic event, right? Like there's always something, there's a shift in the tone where something big happens, and then it unlocks like the later half of the game. It's like every Dragon Quest has been like that for years now, and that could be it here, where you're playing through the game, you build up your stories and everything, and then whatever happens happens, but it literally kills all of them. Like, your entire party gets wiped out completely. You barely survive. And then, like you said, like, instead of it just continuing the story, you have, like, the game actually begins there. So, if, let's say you had 15 hours or something like that where you start to really love these characters and you have no clue, like, it's a true surprise, and then the game truly begins, quote-unquote, at that point. I would love that.
Yeah, no, I will have to go back and listen to our Dragon Quest XI spoiler cast, because I'm just thinking about the story and I don't remember all of it right now, because it's been a year. But yeah, there was something kind of like that. I believe
there was,
like,
yeah,
Red was dead or something for a while.
Yeah,
but like, you basically fix everything, right? So by the end, or kind of, I'll have to go re-listen to that.
Yeah. No,
but
they add time.
This what we're talking about is a complete different scenario where, like, everybody, like, I know what we're talking about would be awesome, and I know that a lot of people would not like that, because you get invested in characters, and that's why, like, Batman and Spider-Man are still around. They will still be around in 100 years, which I think is kind of something that it's kind of ruining some comic books, because what's there to... what's there to work with if the main character can never be defeated? But this would be this, like, and we're just speculating here, this would be a darker team for sure, and I would totally dig it. Like, that's something I would want to play.
Yeah, and it still fits the Dragon Quest theme fine.
Yeah, because like you said, there's always a cataclysm, whatever you say. That's a big boy word I can't pronounce.
Cataclysm.
Yeah, exactly. That happens in Dragon Quest. For 11, it actually happened twice, if I remember correctly. So, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be very cool. I would, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so for me, I understand we can all have, like, you know, the thought of the combat system in our heads. Like, and I mean, it's fine. I just hope that over the next, like, you know, months, I hope that isn't the only thing everyone talks about, because whenever there's a new Dragon Quest, it's like it's exciting, you know? Like, where is this going to fit in? Is it going to fit in the original trilogy? Is it going to be part of the Zenithian trilogy? Or is it going to be, you know, like, its own standalone thing? Are we, like, is that why Dragon Quest 3 is coming out?
Like, as long as they keep it in the fantasy realm. Like, yeah, I'll be fine. Like, I don't want them to go to science fiction and whatnot.
No,
like,
okay.
Keep it in the fantasy realm and I'll be fine.
Yeah, this is... Okay, so this is what I was trying to say before when I was saying about, like, Dragon Quest not becoming Final Fantasy. You can't do that. That's what I mean. Like, if you start to do that kind of stuff, it's no longer Dragon Quest. And the truth is, in Dragon Quest X, there is space stuff. But it fits. Like, it fits perfectly because it's still goofy. It's still got that, you know, fantasy sort of setting and stuff. It just happens to be in space. Like, there's different things, and it fits.
Yeah, you can mix both. Like, I think Star Wars is a perfect example. Star Wars is sci-fi and fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can mix both, but I think, like, some Final Fantasy games or even the movie, like, it's all sci-fi. Like, there's not much fantasy left. Fantasy, anyway. But, yeah, as long as they keep it that way, again, I really need the battle system. We'll stop talking about it. But as soon as they announce it and they put it to rest, that it's a traditional, like, with some tweaks, whatever, then I'll be fine. We can move on and talk about the rest.
I just hope they do both. Honestly, I just hope they do both. Like, if they're going to change something that dramatically, then at least give, because he said it, he specifically said that he will not alienate longtime fans. And so, like, if you make this Dragon Quest Heroes, you will guaranteed alienate longtime fans. So, like, I'm trusting him with what he said, that, like, I'm just hoping that if they do go in a specific...
But just for an example, like, I'm a big fan of the original 2 Kingdom Hearts game. I haven't played Kingdom Hearts since 2. But that was a commands game, but it was still, like, you put commands and then the actions would be in real time, kind of. That was kind of a hybrid. Even that, I would not want that for Dragon Quest, but I loved it for Kingdom Hearts. I loved it for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really thin ice for me with this battle system. Like, they can tweak it fine, but
Well, like I said, dude, they can change it completely. I don't care. As long as they have a traditional, like, option. Like, there has never been a Dragon Quest game released in the mainline series or any of the remakes that was not... It was not command-driven. So, I mean, I get it if you want to change things up, if you want to go in new directions or whatever. But, I mean, I just look around me right now and I'm surrounded by Dragon Quest paraphernalia. And it's like, there is a reason why. So if you change this fundamentally and you, it, like, if you piss someone like me off or alienate me, like, that's really sad, man.
Yeah, they'll lose 50% of their sales right there.
Exactly. Exactly. Boom. But all this to say, there's a new Dragon Quest coming. So, I mean, that is pretty exciting in and of itself. I think the timing is kind of suspicious, if I'm going to be honest. Just because there's all these rumors that Nintendo has, like, this new machine coming out. And I don't know. I'd like to think that maybe this is all connected. Because even with Dragon Quest Treasures, they didn't reveal the platform. Hey, wait a second. Did they even reveal the platform for Dragon Quest III?
I don't think they said anything, but I haven't watched the thing, so you would know.
No,
better.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think they did. I don't think they announced the platform for that either.
Yeah, that one I could be a Switch game, because Octopath Traveler was a Switch game. It later came to Xbox.
Oh, dude, I think for sure. Switch is like the most popular.
It still has. I think Octopath Traveler still hasn't made its way to PlayStation yet. So that's weird.
No, that's why. Pretty sure Switch is like a shoe-in. I would just love it. I would love it if that was Nintendo's big thing, because Nintendo is gonna host a E3 Direct.
Yeah, June 15, which I believe is a Wednesday, which will be my day off, which is kick-ass. But yeah, the thing with that new Switch, though, I don't think it's going to be the Switch 2, so whatever game they announce will probably run on this original Switch as well. They'd be crazy to skip on 80 million, soon to be 90 million, like, whatever, just 90 million.
User base,
yeah, and you release a game and you ignore all that. So I don't think they will do that, but you can expect, at least in Japan, like the new Nintendo Switch will have a limited special edition that Jared will cream his pants for.
Yes. Yeah, guaranteed. No, guaranteed. For real. And I'd love to think that is what...
But that's probably going to be released this year in September or October. So
Yeah, you're talking about the new Switch.
Yeah.
Or upgrade.
And
No,
Dragon Quest game is coming around that time? That would be the remake of 3, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, that's
And
what
I don't think that's
so,
a game that's big enough to warrant its own special system, but I might be wrong.
Oh, with them, you never know, man. Builders got its own special
system. It did? Okay, yeah.
Heroes,
okay, yeah, I didn't
Heroes
know.
Heroes did as well.
Okay.
Remember, this is what I'm saying. Like, we're very limited in our perception and perspective of Dragon Quest. We really are. Like, this is a monumental event in Japan for gamers. Like, this is being talked about all over Twitter, all over, like, 4chan, all over, like, all over the place. You're guaranteed that those games will have special edition systems and stuff. Like, there's no question in my mind. And so what I'm thinking is, Nintendo announces, I'm just going to call it Switch Pro, whatever, I don't know. Actually, knowing Nintendo, they'll call it the new Switch.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, the new Nintendo Switch.
Exactly, just to confuse the crowd. <audience.
laughs> Yeah, they will, poor parents.
And so they announced that as one of their first announcements in their Direct, and then they just show the enhanced versions of, because I agree with you that they wouldn't just abandon like what's there, and maybe that is where we get our first look at you know, like, whatever. Like, they could show you, like, Dragon Quest 3 again with a release date showing, like, a new version of the Switch or something like that. Although, I'm not... I don't know. I still think that those games are all next year myself, but...
So, they wouldn't have anything major for the 35th?
I mean, technically, the 35th was May.
Okay, so now we're in its 36th anniversary right now?
No. We're
like, I mean the year. Yeah, so this is the 35th year, right? So
yeah, like, but I was thinking more like, you know, like early next year maybe we get like Dragon Quest 3. There's no way that Dragon Quest 12 hits early next year or later this year. That's impossible. Like unless they have done something like fundamentally different than they did in the past, there's no chance that's happening.
Okay.
So the way this should go under normal circumstances is we will get a reveal trailer that will highlight Overture and that will show the character walking around a city. You will not see the battle system. Okay, in a classic reveal trailer, you won't see the battle system. They'll have a separate trailer for that later on, where they'll show you the battle system and how it works and stuff like that. But again, who knows, right? Like things can obviously change. But I'm hoping that at Nintendo's Direct, they reveal the new machine and that at least one of these Dragon Quest games is given a release date. I'm not convinced that they would host a Dragon Quest reveal at a Nintendo Direct. That has never been done before, but I mean, you know, I guess it's possible, but I would assume that Square Enix would do that themselves. They would host their own event.
Yeah, probably. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I agree with you about them not releasing Dragon Quest 3 this year. You're probably right. You know a lot more than
oh,
me
no, no, no,
on
no,
that.
No,
but it just,
that's possible. No, no, that one.
Since
that
it's their 35th anniversary year, and of course, technically, the 35th anniversary continues until May of next year. So,
yeah, but that one's possible, dude. That one's possible. That one, I could see because I mean, the battle system was all done, right? They showed us the battle system. They showed us one of the cities. You saw that I could see coming out in like September, October. That I could see coming out around there. It's just, I don't know. Because normally Nintendo doesn't do special editions of their brand new hardware right away, do they? Don't they wait usually a little bit?
Well, for the example, the Nintendo Switch Lite, like there was a new Pokemon one right away. But
I'm wrong.
A few weeks after the Switch Lite.
Okay, then I'm wrong. So then for sure, then yes, that's the plan. Take it to the bank. That'll be the plan. They'll announce the new Switch. And they'll make a Roto or Erdrick version right away to coincide with the release of Dragon Quest 3 for sure.
Okay.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We got a pretty nice podcast out of this. What episode is this? Canadian Gamers, do you know? 115?
No.
Tim will figure it out.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, guys, for watching. Hopefully we didn't bore you to tears. And I am actually really, really looking forward to finding out more information, obviously, about this. One of my favorite series. But more than that, I think is, like, it'll be interesting to see both of our reaction whenever the battle system truly is revealed. I think it'll be really, really interesting because if they do change it, like, dramatically, I'm really curious to see both of our reactions. If we're both like, what the F? But I still stand by what I said. I would be absolutely shocked. And you'll hear it in my voice. And with that, I shall say adieu. So take care, everyone. And Steven, wrap it up.
I'm wrapping it up. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone.